Hello, friends, and welcome to The Daily Good, a podcast filled with upbeat news, thoughts, music, and inspiration from all around the world. Good things are happening every day, but sometimes they're hard to find, so this podcast is a daily collection of the good stuff. It's important for us to stay active and aware of the concerns in the world around us, but it's also vital to give yourself time to reframe and refocus in your daily routine. And we could all use reminders of the good in the world and the great things that are happening everywhere, every day. So with that said, here's today's Daily Good. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Daily Good Podcast. My name's Peter. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Welcome to the middle of another week, and congratulations on getting here. It's definitely springtime here in the Pacific Northwest. The weather is erratic. One day it is gloriously sunny, and the next day it is absolutely pouring rain. Sometimes that's all in the same day. I know for a lot of you around the world this time of year, you know what I'm talking about. You can sometimes, it seems, get all four seasons in one day. And that, to me, is very much the definition of springtime. So we've had a couple of nice days up here recently. The weekend, in particular, was kind of glorious. Easter Sunday was particularly beautiful. And, you know, now it's, you know, into that time where it's cloudy for part of the day and sunny for part of the day, and it might drizzle here and there. And I love that because it really kind of shows off the beauty of this part of the world all day long in lots of different contexts. So I'm enjoying watching the trees starting to bud and just barely come into leaf. And a lot of the flowers in the area are starting to bloom and blossom. So it puts me in a very, very good mood. And that's where I find myself today. So that's kind of how I'm feeling. I've got some classes to teach tonight. But neither myself nor my beautiful wife, Lauren, are DJing the evening dance, which means it's not going to be a late night this particular Wednesday, which... That has not been the case for the last several weeks. So looking forward to perhaps a slightly earlier evening in. We'll see. Maybe we'll stay for the dance and dance with a bunch of our friends. Not sure. I'm not exactly feeling my most energetic today, despite being in a good mood. So we'll see, you know, how things kind of pan out. So that's where I'm at. That's what I'm up to today. How are you doing? Giving you that chance, as ever, to pause and check in with yourself, see how you're feeling, see what you're up to today, and what things you might want to do to improve your day, if it needs improving. And if not, just an opportunity to say hello to yourself. You know, be kind to yourself, be friendly to yourself. And while we're here being kind and friendly, let's just pause for a second and take a slow, and today I mean really slow, deep breath in together. And then let it out again really slowly. That was lovely, at least for me. Hopefully for you as well. And now let's get into today's podcast and talk about our first good news story, which is, it's news about a really fascinating study from the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research. And it's about the idea of a flexitarian diet, right? Now, a flexitarian is the idea of eating mostly plant-based foods, but still enjoying some meat or other animal-based foods in moderation. It's, I think, more or less how myself and my beautiful wife, Lauren, have been eating for the last year or two, sort of inadvertently. It's not that I don't enjoy you know, bacon and burgers and you know, things like that, lots of chicken and fish. But I don't know, we've just been eating less of it and having many more meals that are sort of vegetarian inadvertently. It's just sort of happened naturally, and I like it. Well, it turns out that it's a good thing for the planet, because if a flexitarian diet was adopted by the majority of the Earth, we could help limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, which is the goal. Now, up until now, there was no existing scientific literature that would single out the contribution of shifting diets in relation to that limit. But according to Florian Humpennoder, who is the co-lead author of the study, quote, "The reduction of greenhouse gas emissions related to dietary shifts, especially methane from ruminant animals raised for their meat and milk, would allow us to extend our current global CO2 budget of 500 gigatons by 125 gigatons and still stay within the limits of 1.5 degrees Celsius with a 50% chance." The director of the organization, Johan Rockström, said, quote, "A shift in our diets could make a considerable difference if we do not want to crash through the 1.5 degrees Celsius limit in the next 10 to 15 years. This calls for globally concerted efforts to support the transition towards sustainable, healthy diets." We come next to The Good Word, the segment of the podcast where we turn to the power of great language to improve our lives every single day. Well, all this week we are hearing some of the quotes and poetry of the great English poet and priest George Herbert, and here is a small sample of some of his verse. "By all means, use sometimes to be alone. Salute thyself, see what thy soul doth wear. Dare to look in thy chest, for 'tis thine own, and tumble up and down what thou findest there." Now, that is just a short excerpt from a longer poem, but I just love, first of all, I love Herbert's way with words. His use of the poetic structures of rhyme and meter is just flawless. It's no secret that he was the hero of a number of other poets. But I love that he's able, within the strictures of poetry, to put forth such a lovely thought that he's advocating for, basically, solitude and meditation and inward-lookingness, which is a term that I just made up right now and is terrible, and that's why I'm not a poet. But it's important, I think, to take on board what he's saying. If it's not already a part of your daily life, to give yourself some downtime by yourself and use it, not just, you know, watch TV or even read a book, although I will advocate strongly for that, but to really just be with yourself and look inside and take stock of things and do the work. It's important. Let's hear this little bit of poetry one more time. "By all means, use sometimes to be alone. Salute thyself. See what thy soul doth wear. Dare to look in thy chest, for 'tis thine own, and tumble up and down what thou findest there." George Herbert. That takes us next to Good to Know, the segment of the podcast where I share with you fascinating facts and bits of trivia, because I can, any subject that I like at any time. But this week, there's no particular subject, I'm just sharing with you fun little bits of trivia that I've collected over time. Here's one that I love, and it's very quick. George Washington had only one of his own teeth remaining in his mouth when he was sworn in as president in 1789. Good to know. That brings us to our second good news story for today's podcast. And this is a brief one, but it is another lovely good news story about both animal conservation and a helpful and positive use of AI, of artificial intelligence. And it involves the adorable hedgehog. It is an absolutely iconic species in Great Britain and absolutely adorable. And researchers are hoping that AI can help turn the tide for hedgehogs whose populations have been declining significantly in recent years, although they seem to be bouncing back in some urban areas. Well, the National Hedgehog Monitoring Program, yes, that exists, is going to use AI to identify hedgehogs in footage gathered from camera traps. The British Hedgehog Preservation Society, because that also exists, said, quote, "This new survey will tell us how many hedgehogs there are, as well as where they are present. With this knowledge, we will make effective conservation plans so that we can reverse the decline of this iconic species." That takes us to Wonderful World, the segment of the podcast where we get to travel all over this big, beautiful planet of ours together, thanks to the marvels of modern technology. Well, all week long, we are exploring the world and its foods and cultural delights alongside one of the patron saints of this podcast, the brilliant Phil Rosenthal. And we are doing so by looking back at the original version of his show, Somebody Feed Phil, which was on PBS, and it was called I'll Have What Phil's Having. And in this episode that I'm sharing with you today, he visits beautiful Barcelona in Spain. Now, I've not been to Spain yet. It's very high on my list of places to go. And part of the reason is this episode of I'll Have What Phil's Having. I had always kind of had a vague general interest in checking out Barcelona because my brother Joseph and his beautiful wife Jeannie had visited there quite a few years ago, and they had nothing but wonderful things to say about the place. So I was already kind of interested. But then this episode of the show came along, and it immediately shot to the top of the list. So it's way up there now. And I'm hoping that on some hopefully near in the future visit to Europe, my beautiful wife Lauren and I will have the opportunity to check Barcelona out, whether we're doing some work there or whether we're just having a holiday. But you're going to love this episode because I'm going to guess that you probably, and I'm just guessing here, so don't take offense at this, but you probably don't know a whole lot about Barcelona yourself unless you've been lucky enough to go. So this is a chance to learn a little bit about the place through its food, which is such a wonderful way to learn about any culture. So click on the link in the show notes for this segment of today's episode. Head on over to YouTube, where you can spend about an hour exploring Barcelona with Phil Rosenthal. That takes us to the rotating segment of the podcast. Every day of the week, this segment has a different theme, and on Wednesdays, that theme is Good for You, where I get to talk to you about something that I think might be good for you, because it's definitely been good for me in my life. Well, once or twice in the course of this podcast, and it's nearly 1,000 episodes, I have mentioned that I have a great deal of affection for the brilliant silent film actor, director, and writer, Buster Keaton. I think that Buster Keaton was an absolute master of the cinema. Despite having little to no formal education, he was absolutely brilliant at being a silent film comic. He came up in vaudeville, so he was sort of raised and given an education in the use of his body for physical comedy. and for how to stage things for an audience that was sort of in a static location. So when he was given the opportunity to appear in film, he already had the instincts in place. But how he used them and the way he developed the art form to create some of the funniest and most visually striking images still to this day ever seen on film is a wonderful story. And fortunately, one of the greatest documentaries that I've ever seen in my life is all about Buster Keaton and his life and work. It was produced in England for Thames Television back in the late 70s or early 80s, and it's called Buster Keaton, A Hard Act to Follow, and it's in 3 one-hour episodes, so it's not a short documentary by any means, but it is so fascinating and so compelling that my guess is that after you watch this first episode that I'm sharing with you today, you'll probably watch the next two in rapid succession. So that's what I'm offering you today, is the brilliant documentary series. So click on the link in the show notes for this segment of today's episode, and it'll take you over to YouTube, where you can watch episode one of Buster Keaton, A Hard Act to Follow. So we come to the final segment of the podcast, Sounds Good, where I talk to you about music and musicians that I love. Well, all this week, delightfully, we are listening to the music of Johann Sebastian Bach, whose birthday was back on Sunday, and we are listening to that music in the hands of some of the master musicians of the Netherlands Bach Society and their phenomenal project, All of Bach, where they are literally audio recording and video recording those performances of every single piece of music Bach ever wrote. It's an absolutely jaw-dropping series of performances and videos. And today, I'm sharing with you one of Bach's cello suites. Now, many of us have heard the unaccompanied cello suite number one, the prelude to that, which is a very famous piece of music. It turns up in a lot of movies, notably Master and Commander, one of my favorite films of all time. And it's cropped up a lot in the last several years. But there are quite a few unaccompanied cello suites that Bach wrote. And the one that I'm sharing with you today is the cello suite number two in D minor, which gives it a little bit of a, well, as they say in the notes for the video, a darker and more introspective tone and feeling. And fortunately, this particular piece of music is a favorite of the man who is performing it, a brilliant cellist with the Netherlands Bach Society named Stuart Pincombe. He is a master of his instrument, and the fact that he is playing a piece of music that he's passionate about is evident in the performance. So, as we wrap up the podcast today and I send you off into whatever is left of the day for you, click on the link in the show notes for this segment of today's episode, head on over to YouTube, and spend a little over 20 minutes listening and watching the brilliance of Bach's Cello Suite No. 2 in D minor, performed by Stuart Pincombe of the Netherlands Bach Society. And that's it for today's Daily Good. There are links to many of today's segments on the website at the-daily-good.com. Make sure to check out our Instagram account and Twitter feed to get more of the Daily Good every day. Our theme music, On the Sunny Side of the Street, was recorded by the brilliantly talented Jonathan Stout. Thank you again so much for joining me, and come back anytime you need a boost.